Acts 3:19, Cody read it a moment ago, and it's about this subject, repentance. Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing can come from the presence of the Lord. And so the question is this, is Jesus worthy of my repentance? Now I want you to think about this word, and this is not a word that's an Indian word. It might look like a word that's a tomahawk or something like that, but it's not. It's not even a word that is an axe. Somebody told me last night that Yvonne carries an axe in her trunk. I was really scared when I heard that. And I hope that her family's scared as well. But this is not an Indian word. This is a Greek word. Metanoeo. Metanoeo. Which means repent or repentance. That's what the word means. So as we look at that, here's what metanoeo really means. It means that I begin to think differently. You know, last week, a lot of you have told me about how impressed you were with the speaker last week. And that is as a result of somebody who really early in their life, I'm talking about really early in their life, was taught to think differently. The goal we have in our lives as parents and grandparents and mentors over our children and young people is to teach them to think differently. There's a worldly system that is in place out there, but we have to teach them to think differently. So that's what metanoeo really means. It means to reconsider the direction of your life. Reconsider the direction of your life. That really is, it's a military term if you really stop and think about it, where soldiers are going in a certain direction and the commanding officer says, about face! And you begin to turn and you go the other way. So really, metanoeo is a military term that says reconsider the direction of your ways. And probably the biggest word of all that you want to remember when we talk about metanoeo is this one. It's about change. It's about changing your life. It's about changing the direction of your life. And so as we study for a few moments this morning, I want you to think about those three concepts on the idea of repent or repentance. And is Jesus really worthy of my repentance? Well, with God, He can do things with the penitent. God can do those who think differently, who reconsider their ways, who change. And I want to mention a couple of those before we look at some other things. Without repentance, I remain in bondage to sin. You know, if you look at Luke chapter 13, Jesus was talking to a group of unbelieving Jews. And as He talked to this unbelieving Jews, here's a couple of things that He said. He says, I tell you, no, unless you repent, reconsider, change the ways of your life, unless you think differently, you shall likewise, all of you, perish. He said that two times in just three verses in Luke chapter 13, verse 3 and 5. If you go back in your Bibles, or over in your Bibles rather, to John chapter 8, three places He said the very same thing. He said, if you do not believe that I am He, watch this, you will die in your sins. In other words, you'll remain in bondage to sin. That's what He said in John 8, 21. He said the same thing in John 8, 24. He said the same thing in John 8 and verse 34. When He says, if you continue in your present course, you will continue to be a slave of sin. So without the concept of repentance, I want you to see, number one, that you will remain in bondage to your sin. Now, I was going to tell this story tonight, but I'm going to go ahead and tell it this morning because I think it fits where we are being in bondage to sin. What does that mean to be in bondage to sin? We went to a place that I thought really didn't exist because it looked like to me that a tree was growing out of this small little place. And as we rounded the corner, we found a man. We found a man by the name of Nigel Abraham. Nigel looked to be a little bit intoxicated. And the closer I got to him, the more I realized that he had some foul odor on his breath from alcoholic content that he had been drinking. I looked over into the tree. We sat outside. We had to sit basically on a tree stump because we could not go inside. There was not enough room for us. Not long after we began talking to Nigel, we noticed a young lady come up. And we found out that that was his daughter. And through the course of our conversation, his daughter said to us, as we were studying with Nigel, as we saw him reeking of alcohol, she said, he needs to change his life. And we said, well, what do you mean he needs to change his life? He is consumed with alcoholic beverage. That is the goal of his life. Nigel needed to repent. Reconsider his ways. Change his lifestyle. He needed metanoia because he was in bondage to the sin of alcohol. The second thing I want you to see, without repentance, I continue to be controlled by the worldly system that is in place. And let me tell you, there is a system in place. As you exit the room today and you head out to this major thoroughfare out here we call 185 and we goes off in a different directions, you're going to be controlled by a system that is in place called the world. Now, it's not that we're going to talk about vehicles and houses and plants and shrubs and the solar system. We're talking about an evil world that is out there. And I'm here to tell you that 1 John 2, 15 through 17, John understood this. He was the apostle of love. And here's what he said. He said, love not the world, the worldly system that's in place. He says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Because all that is in the world is the pride of life and the lust of the flesh and that, he says, that is of the world and the world is passing away. Watch this, verse 17. But those who do the will of God. Verse 17, such a key verse here. Those who do the will of God, they abide and last forever. So these two things, without repentance, I remain in bondage to and in my sins. And number two, I am controlled by the world. But what happens when I do repent? What takes place when I understand the process of repentance? With repentance, number one, I can experience forgiveness. I really hope through continued study, through understanding that he can break the bondage of sin, I trust, hope, and pray that Nigel Abraham can come to know the Lord, can come to break free from the bondage of that alcoholic beverage which controls his life. And if he does, he'll experience forgiveness for that wrecking and wreaking havoc in his life. On the birthday of the church, they were told, this large group of people, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Watch this, for the remission of your sins, for the forgiveness of your sins. The word remit simply means this, purchase and send back. Jesus came to purchase and send back our sins when we're willing to repent. When we're willing to repent and be immersed. You see, in Acts 3:19, he says, repent that your sins may be blotted out. We know what that means, to remove something from the ledger. Sometimes a judge will expunge something that somebody has done maybe several years prior, and they'll be able to take it off the record, and it'll be blotted out of the record book, and it'll not show up anymore. When somebody does a criminal check, they won't be able to find that anymore, because that judge has expunged that. It no longer exists. It's been blotted out. And the same is true when we repent and are immersed. We experience the forgiveness of sins. I tell you what I'd like for you to do. Take your Bibles with me to 2 Chronicles 7. And if you'll turn over to the 2 Chronicles chapter 7, I'm going to tell you how America can experience a revival unlike any that's ever been seen in the history of this nation. So you need your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And I want you to look with me at verse 14. Canada, England, Iraq, Afghanistan, Iran, Israel, the United States, wherever that country exists, there can be a spiritual upheaval if they'll follow this verse. You got your seatbelt on. You ready for this? 2 Chronicles 7:14. This is worth coming for. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn, repent, and turn from their evil or wicked ways, then I will hear them and I will forgive their sin and heal their diseases. America, did you hear that? Trump, you want to make America great again? Then repent. Amen. That's it. That's the answer. It's to repent and turn and change. Consider our ways. Number two. When I experience repentance, I move from darkness to light. I love 1 John 1:5. God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. I had somebody ask me what the time difference was, and they're on Eastern time where we were, just an hour ahead of us. And it gets light extremely early, but it also gets dark really early. Really early. As a matter of fact, on our way to services every night at 7 o'clock, it was getting dark. And I knew here it was 8:20, 8:30, 8:40 before it got dark. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. When Saul of Tarsus changed and became the great apostle Paul, do you know what happened? It says that he went from darkness to light. He went from the power of Satan to the power of God. What did Saul do? He repented. He repented. Meneo is what transpired and took place in his life from a person that was under the control of Satan to being under the control of God. And so there was the second thing that happens, or there is the second thing that happens when we experience repentance. But I want to show you one more. And I think this is a beautiful one. Number three, I become a servant of God. Now today I cannot prove what I'm fixing to say, so take it with a grain of salt a little bit. All right? There was a rock group that was very prominent and powerful in the 70s. And they called themselves KISS. K-I-S-S. They had painted faces and made millions and millions and millions of dollars, and still are making millions of dollars off their sales of their material. It was said in the 70s, because I was a product of that generation, it was said in the 70s that was an acronym. That when they would play concerts and go from city to city and try to wreak havoc, that they refer to themselves as, watch the acronym, Kings in Satan's Service. KISS. KISS. When you metaneo, when you repent, you become a servant of God. In Romans chapter 6, three places, 7, 18, and 22, here's what the concept is. He that has died to sin has been freed from sin and has become a servant of righteousness. Romans 6 and verse 17. Let me take you back to something that happened in the Old Testament. This is a fascinating concept, and I want you to see it as we round third and head for home this morning. We are in baseball season, Clay, aren't we? Well, you're not, but we are. All right. Exodus 21. They had a great year, by the way. Congratulations. Exodus 21. Look at verse 6. Exodus 21 and verse 6. Then his master shall bring him to the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or to the doorpost. And his master, watch this, shall pierce his ear with an awl. and he shall serve him forever. That word there, A-double-L, was a tool. I want you to watch this. It was a tool that was used to go through the earlobe, which would say that this person belongs to me. Sometimes in our youth gatherings, some of the places I go, we sing a song called Pierce My Ear. Somebody sits there and they think, well, that's, you know, that's a physical piercing of the ear. No, not today. Pierce my ear means bring my life into subjection to the will of God. Through my metaneo, through my repentance, through my submission, God is going to know that I now belong to Him. Grab your songbooks. You've been a great group to stand in front of, and I thank you for that. The last thing I want to say today is this. When do I repent? When do I repent? And my response is with urgency. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, let me tell you what it says. The Lord is not slack concerning His appearance, as some would count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So this morning, if you're in the room and you've yet to repent and be immersed, I want you to think about doing that with some sense of urgency. I want to tell you why. You walk through these doors, you get into a vehicle, you might be like that good old sister in West Tennessee. It was Milan, Tennessee. You know where that is, don't you, Clay? Milan, Tennessee. She told Brother Doug at the door, she said, Brother Doug, I'll see you tonight for worship. That good old sister at the top of a hill veered over into another lane of traffic and was hit head on. She didn't see Brother Doug that night. She saw Brother Jesus because she was ready to die. She had met and, she had repented of her sins. She had confessed her faith. She had been born again. She had lived faithful to God the rest of her life. There's a sense of urgency. It may be that we're a Christian, but we faltered and failed. We come short of the glory and the grace of God. We haven't lived for Him like we should. We're dilatory. We're out of duty. We're whatever the word might be. And today you can repent again and say, I want to get back into the good graces of God. And when death claims my physical body, I want heaven to claim my eternal soul. You can do that today. As Sean leads us in, is it for me? Sean, will you come?